Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively the Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Good morning, good evening, wherever you're tuning in from. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We've got a wonderful show in store for you today with a gentleman I'm really looking forward to bringing on. But first, of course, we have my blog post from a couple of years ago. And let's get to it because I want to get the show moving. So we're starting off with this blog post, which is entitled, "The Intimacy of a Safe Community is Far More Healing Than We Realize." Experiences build up over a lifetime. Being bullied, made fun of, abused, or just plain harassed. They all affect us in ways we don't realize. And over the course of time, they cause a shift inside of us. It is a shift inside our nervous system. Our bodies learn not to feel safe because we weren't. Our nervous system learns to shut down, be hypervigilant, or some other form of PTSD. When we suffer enough and we can no longer stand the pain, we seek help. Whether it is professional help or some kind of alternative help, we just know we need to do something. For we can no longer live the way we have been living for many years or perhaps decades. We seek healing, therapy, or something more extreme. Sometimes the treatments we seek help quite a bit, and sometimes not. Yet when the cause of the suffering comes from a deep sense of being unsafe, there may be a much simpler solution, one that is easy to overlook. For when we come together in a safe, intimate space with an open-hearted community, our nervous system can respond quite profoundly. When we are in a group that supports being vulnerable with each other and we share our own traumas, something magical happens. As we hear others share their pain and their tragedies, we no longer feel so alone. We can relate to others and they can relate to us. For a strong and safe energetic group container breeds intimacy and vulnerability. And in those intimate and vulnerable moments, we suddenly feel safe. Safe to express ourselves, or safe enough to connect to others without being defensive. An accepting and supportive group that creates this kind of space immediately helps us to release the feeling that we are not safe. The connection we feel and the generosity of listening to our pain can help us release all kinds of symptoms. It gives our nervous system a positive experience to counteract the negative ones. Whereas when we seek individual treatment on our own, we do not have a sense of community or safety in the same way. Yes, we may find healing that way. Yet the healing we find in a safe community can be far deeper and more long-lasting. This may not be true for everyone who is suffering, but it is true more often than we realize. It is not a magic bullet, yet it is truly magical. So when we struggle with the pain of our past traumas, sometimes the best help we can find is in the community we feel safest in. Do you have an accepting community that you feel safe enough to share your pain with? If not, can you find one? So this blog post I wrote a couple of years ago, and it was after being part of a group ceremony and seeing how at the beginning of the ceremony, people showed up as basically strangers, didn't really know each other that well. And then throughout the evening, they started to open up. They started to share what they had experienced. And something really magical happened. There were these two gentlemen there who both had become mental health professionals, who both came from the Southeast, who both suffered similar traumas, who had a very similar family dynamics, very similar experiences growing up, and even more similar things like within their families and everything. It was truly amazing. And you could just see as they connected and shared with each other through the night, their whole being just relaxed. You could see it on their face, in their posture, and just how they were talking to each other and then to everyone else in the group. And although I've been saying this for a long time, it was just something to actually see what I know in my heart to be true, to actually see it playing out in front of me. And so that was the inspiration for this blog post. And so it's one that, you know, I talk a lot about community. I mentioned it on my show many times. But I've really, truly come to appreciate that when we find people, and they don't have to be the same ethnicity, the same religion, the same belief structure, they don't, you know, from the same country or whatever. No, they can be from anywhere in the world. But if we truly feel safe with them, that sense of safety and community on an unconscious, on a nervous system level, just causes us to stop being so defensive, holding so tight, and allows us to relax, to just show up a little more authentically, a little more who we are, and to share our truth. Now look, if you've had, you know, horrendous trauma and abuse when you were younger, of course you want to work with a professional, and individual therapeutic practices are infinitely valuable. However, in that pursuit of the individual therapy, I just also recommend finding a group container that can hold you and can also benefit that other side, that other piece of us, not just as individuals, but as part of a collective. You know, human beings are social creatures, and how we show up in community and how safe we are and what the community is like, There's real value in that. So that's my blog post. It is entitled, "The Intimacy of a Safe Community is Far More Healing Than We Realize." And of course, you can find my blog on my personal branded website, theconsciousconsultant.com, and on the talkradio.nyc website at talkradio.nyc/blog. Okay, so now it is my extreme pleasure to welcome to the show author and astrologer extraordinaire, Stephen Forrest. Stephen is the author of 17 books. Wow. I mean, I've written one book and I've been part of three other books, but 17, geez, including The Inner Sky, Yesterday's Sky, the books of Fire, Earth, Air, and Water, and The Endless Sky. His work has been translated into a dozen different languages, and he has traveled around the world to teach his brand of choice-centered evolutionary astrology. Oof, say that's five times fast. An integrative system that marries grounded humanistic psychology and ancient metaphysics, placing them in the context of free will and personal responsibility. Currently, Stephen and his team teach online at the Forrest Center for Evolutionary Astrology. In 2018, he won the coveted Regulus Award for Astrological Education at the United Astrology Conference. I didn't know there was a United Astrology Congress. Stephen believes that evolutionary astrology is a celebration of human freedom, choice, and imagination. He says that it is your fate only to face certain questions and certain possibilities in this lifetime. Beyond that, there is no use for the word. Skilled evolutionary astrologers are coaches, not prophets. They help you find your own path, and they support you in having the faith and the confidence to navigate it. That is what he has dedicated his life to. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Stephen.
It's a delight to be here, Sam. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. So I'm curious, like, how did you first get curious about astrology? I mean, you know, becoming a world-class astrologer, I don't remember too many kids when I was in elementary school or junior high school thinking, oh, that's what I want to do when I grow up.
Right. My high school guidance counselor never mentioned it once.
Right.
It's a good question. It's really two paths converged. And one was I was kind of a smart kid, conditioned socially to be on the science track, basically. Mm. And I was living probably 3 or 4 miles north of where you're sitting now, up in Mount Vernon, New York. And I became obsessed with amateur astronomy, you know, looking through telescopes, through the atmospheric muck of the 1960s and the ground lights. I was lucky to see the moon on a good night. But I was obsessed and had a sense of not just scientific apprehension of what I was looking at through telescopes, but a feeling of magic. You know, it's like this must mean something. That, you know, it's like this galaxy I'm looking at through the eyepiece, I think it's looking back at me, you know, a totally subjective feeling. But it was real for me. And the second track, when I was about 13, I met a person I perceived as a woman, because I think she was probably 16, and she taught me palmistry, the symbols of palmistry. And you have on your hand a plane of Venus, a plane of Jupiter. Palmistry is organized intellectually the same way that astrology is. And so these two tracks sort of converged when I was maybe 17, and I realized forlornly the only way I was ever going to get to hold hands with a girl was to do palmistry. I'm half joking, but not by much. And the fateful moment, literally, I'm 17 and had my tonsils out. And I'm in recovery, a little old for tonsillectomy in those days. And my mom says, "Can I get you a book?" And I said, "Yeah, get me an astrology book." It raised her eyebrows a little bit, but she had no problem with that. And I got an awful astrology book. And I realized, you know, There's truth hiding in all this idiocy. And those two paths just crashed together, and it was like a fusion reactor, and boom, I never let go. I've been doing it ever since then.
Wow, that's so interesting. When I was in high school, I took an astronomy course elective, and we went to the local college. And I remember the professor, he had some connection with the college, and they had this big Celestron telescope, one of those really fat ones. And I remember the middle of winter when it's freezing cold, and that's when you could see clearly. We go up to the roof of the buildings and actually got to see through that Celestron the rings of Saturn. And I was like, now you see, that just encouraged me to want to be an astronaut. Unfortunately, I've been wearing glasses since I was in third grade, and at the time, the only way to become an astronaut was to go through the Air Force, and you had to have perfect vision. And wearing glasses from third grade, this was long before LASIK was around, so wasn't a chance on that. So, wow, I can appreciate that. Wonderful. All right, listen, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, I have some basic questions around astrology that I kind of sort of know the answer, but I want to hear from your perspective and also to engage our audience, but also, and then from there, I want to go into your particular flavor of astrology, because I've learned like there are as many flavors of astrology as there are ice cream flavors at Baskin Robbins, aren't there?
Absolutely.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over social media. And we'll be right back with our guest, Stephen Forrest, in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this week with Stephen Forrest, author of the book The Inner Sky, The Endless Sky, and 15 other books about astrology. I'm amazed that you've written so many books. So, Stephen, I would love to just get your perspective on a couple of questions, general questions around astrology before we dive deep in. The first being, how old is astrology?
Yeah, that's a really slippery question. Academically, the official answer, which I fervently believe to be completely incorrect, is a little bit over 2,000 years. That in maybe the 2nd century BC, astrology, as we kind of understand it today, began to be developed by the Greeks. Now, the Greeks themselves said we got it from the Egyptians, but we can't find any particular record from the Egyptians. accept the alignment of the pyramids with the stars of Orion's belt and things like that. Clearly, our ancestors were obsessed with the heavens. Some of the oldest human artifacts we have are little chips out in bone that are clearly registering moon phases, you know, like the 29 days, the 29 chips in the bone and such. And you know, these Cro-Magnon people, they weren't coolly doing science and drinking coffee out of styrofoam cups. You know, there was a magical sense of a relationship with the sky. I think astrology, I think it's fair to say it's more ancient than humanity. Not just that it's always worked, but I believe even early hominids probably had some sense of the magic of the sky. And just one more line, a quick test of that is just anybody go out at night and have a look. And it's like, oh my God, you know, we feel something when we look at the night sky. It's magical.
Yes, yes. And I know that in ancient Sumeria, these texts that have very detailed calculations of where in the sky the different planets are. I mean, I've heard it said that, you know, astrology is so old, we don't even know how old it is.
Yeah, exactly.
That it predates modern civilization in some ways. So people tend to think of people who don't know. I mean, my audience is fairly educated, so they know better. But a lot of people tend to think that, you know, astrology is that horoscope that you see in the newspaper once a week telling you, you know, what your sign is and things like that. But astrology is much more than that, isn't it? And you know, I've heard it called the science of astrology and the art of astrology. And I'm curious, which do you feel it is?
Well, I think it's a science in its essence, but it is applied to human beings as an art. So I think both of those are accurate.
And you take a particular approach to astrology. You know, people think of astrology as like, oh, when am I going to meet my soulmate? And, you know, oh, it's Mercury retrograde. I have to be careful with my emails. What do you feel is like the real purpose of astrology, and what do you like how do you use astrology to really help someone in their life?
Yeah, that's again a superb question, because the answer is really a layer cake. You made some comments about, you know, sun sign horoscope things, and I agree with everything you said there. But if it weren't for that, I wouldn't be an astrologer. You know, that's how I discovered it, you know. And so it's, I think of astrology.
Yep. Looks like Stephen's internet cut out for a second. Or is that mine? Oh, he was right in the middle of trying to say something really good. Hope everything's okay. Maybe he'll come back in a minute. Hopefully it's just a burp in the internet. Okay. I think we're going to have to edit out this little piece after the fact. He was just talking about his view on astrology. So, yep, we lost him. So his computer crashed or his internet went down. So, you know, one of the things about Stephen Forrest that I really liked is he calls his brand sort of a choice-centered evolutionary astrology, meaning that I believe, we'll see when he'll come back in, I'm sure, that people have a choice. And that the astrology is meant to help support us to make better choices, and not that it's meant to replace our free will, and it doesn't take away our ability to choose for ourselves what we want for our life. It's meant to support us and help us to make better choices. And this is one of the things that I've learned about astrology in the past, is it's a wonderful tool to help understand why we are the way we are, but that doesn't mean we're stuck in the way we are. It doesn't mean that we can't evolve in the way we are. One of the things that the astrologer who used to do a show on our network by the name of Monty Taylor, he was a wonderful Jungian astrologer, and he had a show called Living Consciously. And if you go back into our archives, you'll see we still have a few episodes of Living Consciously on the website. He would talk about the relationship of not just the planets and sort of where they are in the sky and what that means, but, you know, like the planet Mars. Mars was the god Aries, and what were the characteristics of that god, and what was his personality like, and what did that mean for us? And I think
Yes, here I am. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we hear you now, Stephen. Lost you there okay. For a minute.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
No problem. I figured it's either your internet or your computer.
Yeah, the computer's fine. The internet looked fine for the first two or three minutes of the break, but now I'm seeing I'm not connected, so I switched over to my phone.
Okay, no problem.
My apologies.
No worries. So you were about to answer right when you froze. You're about to, I could tell, make some like really insightful answer about your view of astrology.
Yeah, the key for me is to think of the planets as offering not a prediction about your personality or your future, but suggestions. You know, it's like you have a coach up there in the sky who's helping you understand why you need to learn what you're facing at a given time, what the purpose of it is. Here's how to get it right, and here's what it looks like if you're getting it wrong. It's quite the opposite of the sort of implicit view that we're marionettes and the planets have us by our strings. You know, I just completely reject that.
Yeah. Monty, the gentleman who used to do the astrology show on our network back in 2012, 13, 14, 15, he would say all the time, like, there was a higher expression and a lower expression.
Yes.
And I was just, while you were off, I was talking about the idea of like the planet Mars, you know, what does that represent in our channel? And when you think of Mars, you know, that was the Roman god, the Greek god was Aries, I believe. And it's, you know, what were the characteristics of Aries? You know, what were, you know, he was a warrior and this and put a god of action and as well as other things. But there was some higher aspects and some lower aspects. And so when we look at where is Mars in our chart and what does that mean for us, there is both a higher aspect to it and a lower aspect to it.
Yeah, absolutely. With Mars, it's a stark energy. And often when I'm sitting with a client, I'll say that, you know, they're coming into a big Mars-centered time in their lives. And it's like you have a choice here. You can be the hunter, or you can be the prey. Which would you prefer? Many of us will say, is there a vegetarian course? You know, of course, and the universe is going to say, no, you've got to choose. And by the way, if you can't choose, we'll choose for you, which usually means prey. And, you know, this sounds very stark, but the reality is that sometimes circumstances come along in life in which it is appropriate for you to assert yourself, stand up for yourself, protect yourself, or protect people or creatures or ideas that are important to you. And that's what Mars calls us to do. So it's like it's the warrior, the spiritual warrior, whose ultimate battle is not really with something else in the world, but with fear itself. And that's the key with Mars. Now, of course, you're free to run away, and that's the low response.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Oh, and I see loyal listener Sanaya. It's good to see you, Sanaya. Glad you're tuning into the live stream, giving you a thumbs up, and said she loved Monty. Yeah, we miss Monty terribly on the station. He unfortunately passed from a stroke a few years ago.
Oh, that's really sad.
Yeah, Monty Taylor, he was wonderful. So before we go to break, I'm going to ask this question, but maybe we will start the answer and then we'll finish it when we come back from break. How has astrology helped you in your life? I'm wondering if maybe you can give us like one or two quick examples of how you were able to use astrology as you were learning it and starting to help other people with it. But how has it helped you in your life with certain situations, maybe?
Yeah, that's I would say, constantly. If I say every day, it's perhaps a slight exaggeration, but not by much. Here's a concrete example. The planet Uranus, the fact that nobody knows how to pronounce it really says a lot about the nature of the planet, because it's about thinking for yourself. It's about being for yourself. You simply say the name of this planet and somebody thinks you've said it wrong, and it's like, that's what happens when you're being yourself. Somebody says, that's a big mistake, Okay, so quick crash course in that planet. It hit my ascendant. Something happens every 84 years. It's a very big deal. This was years ago. And I'm thinking like, I'm getting really old. I'm in my 30s, and I'm laughing too. But and at this rate, I'm going to be the hippie astrologer in the town where I went to college. It's about time I got a grip and, got a job and so on. Then I realized, no, I love astrology. This is what I want to do with my life. And it was, in this case, a good response to the planet Uranus. I don't care if people think I'm crazy. This is what I am. This is what I want to do. So here I serve as a good example. I got it right. And then the magical thing with the planet Uranus is that if you're true to yourself, you always have this feeling, I'm painting myself into a corner. And then the universe intervenes. And so many astrologers would say, expect the unexpected in a Uranian time. It does correlate with unpredictable events. So right after about a year, it took a couple of years for it to cross my ascendant, right towards the end of that time, my telephone rings. It's a literary agent in New York City who's gotten wind of my work, wants me to write a chapter of a book on spec. 6 weeks later, I had a deal with Bantam Books. I'm like nobody hippie from North Carolina, and get this deal with the biggest English language publisher on the planet in those days. That kind of stuff doesn't happen realistically, and yet it did. It did. And I think it's because I was.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
True to myself, in Uranian fashion, was willing to get a little weird, willing to look a little strange, and the universe supported me after I'd stuck with it for a couple of years. You got to prove yourself.
Wow. Interesting. So I'm curious. We've got to go to break, but you say the Uranus, it'll hit your ascendant once every 84 years, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so don't hold your breath.
So then the next time you would be around 110 or so.
Yes, yeah, I'm not expecting it.
Right. But I'm just curious, if let's say we don't make it that long, does that mean like what we come out with will be rediscovered at that time, or will something happen around our work or around our legacy?
Well, it can. That's an interesting footnote, the way people's birth charts seem to keep working after they're dead and gone. That's sort of another subject. But the big response I'd like to make is, just for perspective, is that the planet Uranus does take 84 years to get around the sun or the chart. They're the same thing. But it will do a lot of important things in a person's life other than hitting the ascendant. So it's not like, well, I died at 82, so I never got to know that planet. It's not like that. Yeah. It takes about 7 years to get through a sign.
Gotcha. Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about your books, Earth, Air, Fire, and Water, and how you came to integrate the archetypal elements into astrology, okay?
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to.
Wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. And don't forget, like Sanaya did, if you have any questions or comments, post them in Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and we'll get to your post them in the live streams. If you have any questions around astrology, we'll get to them during the rest of the show. So you're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We'll be right back with our guest, Stephen Forrest, in just a moment.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Stephen Forrest, author of 17 books around astrology. So one of the things I find fascinating is you have different books, you know, The Inner Sky, Yesterday Sky, The Endless Sky, talking about astrology. But then you have four books dedicated to each of the four archetypal elements, earth, air, fire, water. And I was curious how you kind of came to make that such an important part of your work with astrology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. It's an important question to me. I saw Saturn about to impact my chart in a big way. Classically, that's here comes Saturn. Saturn isn't bad, though. Saturn is hard. The trick with Saturn, the question Saturn asks is, do you want to be depressed? Or do you want to be exhausted? And, you know, I recommend exhausted. it beats depression. So I knew I had to do something hard. And writing a book isn't really hard for me anymore, you know, because I've done it a lot. So I thought, well, what about four books? What I set out to do was to write down everything I knew about astrology. You know, that was essentially it, divided into fire, earth, air, and water. The Book of Fire, for example, isn't just about the fire element. It's about the three fire signs in depth, Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius, the planets that rule them, in this case, Mars, the Sun, and Jupiter, intensively, the corresponding houses. In other words, these are detailed books in which essentially I wanted to, I'll just add, they were an adjunct to the foundation of my school. They were like the fundamental textbooks for my school. If somebody wants to put 3 or 4 years into becoming a serious astrologer, part of it is, in a sense, memorizing those four books.
Wow. I see a good friend of mine on LinkedIn, Harris, is tuning in, and he says, "You're an interesting fella, an author, fascinating perspective." So you got some fans out there, Stephen.
Thank you. That's good to hear.
Okay. So the four books are about sort of the of the 12 signs of the zodiac. There's an element associated with each sign, and there are three signs for each element.
Yeah. Yes.
So let's just take just to give a quick example of so if somebody's an Aquarius versus a Pisces versus a Sagittarius, yeah. or Gemini, what is the difference in quality? Like, how would it show up in someone's life? And what would be sort of the difference in what we need to be mindful of depending on that particular characteristic?
Yeah. The conventional answer, which is accurate, is that there are certain personality traits, attitudes, and values that are associated characteristically with each sign. And that's the basis of conventional astrology, and it's quite accurate. But it's not exactly the approach I take. Here's how I would look at it. I'll ask a stupid question. And then as we meditate upon why this is a stupid question, we become smart about sun signs, whether you're a Pisces or an Aquarius or what. The stupid question, is it a good idea for an American person to become an expatriate, to move to Ecuador, Okay. Well, obviously popular occupation question nowadays. What makes it a dumb question is we've left out a critical piece of information. Who are we talking about? It's not a moral question like, should I kill or should I steal? It's a question of individuality. Like, what values will work for you? Now, if you take care of the sun, it means being true to those values, maximizing those particular values in your life. And if you're an Aquarian, it's like ruled by the planet Uranus. I was just talking about, it's like, be yourself, follow your own path. Your truth is your truth. If people disapprove of it, well, that's amusing. That value works well if you're an Aquarian. If you're a Pisces, you're here to explore consciousness. If you're a Sagittarian, you're here to say yes to life and pack the experience of 10 lifetimes into one lifetime. And I mean, these are little, thumbnail sketches, obviously, but they're just different ways of making choices in life. And the idea is that the choices connected with your sun sign feed back into your consciousness as a feeling, I believe, an accurate feeling of being on track in your life, being the right person, the right place at the right time. Plus, they'll give you a sunny disposition. This is God's own antidepressant. If you're true to yourself, you're a happier person. That's intuitively obvious. And this is about how to be true to yourself.
The art and science of astrology is actually much more complicated than just the sun sign because, right? There are these 12 different houses. There are the different zodiac signs. There are all these planets. I know I've looked at my natal chart many times and I've got a whole bunch of planets bunched up in Aquarius and Pisces, another whole bunch of stuff bunched up in, I believe it's Virgo and Leo. And there's not a whole lot in between, which is, from what I understand, a little bit unusual because usually the stuff's spread out all over the chart. And it's sort of like each planetary body, where it's positioned when we were born, like all has a subtle impact in terms of how it, that energy affects our life. So it's not like just looking at one aspect. It's much more complicated than that, isn't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's why it takes really 3 or 4 years to become a competent craftsperson. But I love what you just said, that so you have a lot of Aquarian energy in mm-hmm. your chart, as you mentioned. So that path of individuation and so on. I want to be careful not to get too techy here, but Aquarius mm-hmm. is the 11th sign. It has some common ground with the 11th house. They're not mm-hmm. interchangeable. The reason I say that, I go back to the very beginning of this program and the beautiful blog that came straight from your heart about the importance of finding a fellowship, a mm-hmm. spiritual, psychological clan or tribe to support you. And well, let me start off by saying everybody who's ever lived has an 11th house, in their chart. Mm-hmm. There's no way around that. But there might not be planets in it, or there might not be planets in Aquarius. And so for some people, what you said in that blog might be less relevant. It might not be their path, For some people, getting over the traumas of life, maybe they need to sit in a Himalayan cave, for 17 years, which is quite the opposite of, social interaction. And so for others, it's like perfect, So the key here is that we're bombarded with a lot of advice about how to live, and a lot of it is solid, just the wisdom of our ancestors passed down to us. I don't want to be dismissive of it, but always, one piece of advice works better for one person and another piece for a different person. Mm-hmm. That's where astrology comes in. It's like, what works for you? How do we honor your individuality? How do we go beyond generic or religious good advice and instead relate to each individual in their unique karmic predicament?
It really it just shows like we are very much individuals, right? And it's not a one size fits all for anything.
Yeah, exactly. Well, my favorite line here is, we are all as different and as alike as snowflakes.
Yeah.
And that's actually a deeper comment than it might seem, because a snowflake, every snowflake has six arms. It's like mm-hmm. an asterisk, and then mm-hmm. beyond that, individual variants. And you can, I hope this doesn't get too obscure, but you can take that asterisk, that snowflake form, and say six arms, but then if you count the negative spaces, between the arms, mm-hmm. it's 12. And so every snowflake is a birth chart, is the basic structure of a birth chart. That's mm-hmm. how pervasive the structure is in the universe. Water turns to birth charts at 32 degrees Fahrenheit. It's just amazing. And then this delightful idea that we're all as different and ultimately just human, as alike, as snowflakes,
That's actually a very, very profound statement. I see it.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're all snowflakes, but every snowflake is different.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonderful. Okay, we're going to take another break. When we come back, I just want to ask you about evolutionary astrology. What is evolutionary astrology, and how is like what your school and what you teach around astrology maybe a little bit different than other astrologers and the different flavors of astrology out there, like Vedic astrology and stuff? There's a lot to it. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. My guest this hour has been Stephen Forrest, and we'll be right back to wrap it all up in just a moment. You'll be right back.
Are you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, And each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be frank about health with all of you.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back. So Stephen, you call your school Forest Center for Evolutionary Astrology. What is evolutionary astrology?
You know, my favorite response to that question will sound slightly insulting, but I hope your audience is sophisticated enough to get it right. And here it comes. Just think how dumb you were 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, as I say that, you know, it's teasing, it sounds playful, but most of us can relate to it. You know, you're a wiser man today than you were 5 years ago.
Absolutely.
I don't know the details, Sam, but I'm very confident of that. So evolution is not a philosophy simply. It's an observed fact that we are capable of growth and change, and I could say, think how dumb you were 10 minutes ago or 10 seconds ago, and that's too granular for us to really know. Yeah. It, but it's probably true. There's a kind of quantum process here, moment to moment. So traditional or conventional astrology tends to be very descriptive. You know, you're an Aquarius, here's your personality, as if it just sat there. And it doesn't, you know, that's the magic, that we are evolving beings. And so evolutionary astrology is based on conscious, intentional change and growth, you know, understanding the growth that we have signed up for in this lifetime and how to do it. That's really the heart of my answer. Now, people in the broad, diverse world of astrology would say, yeah, but you guys believe in reincarnation. And I'd say, yeah. See, think how dumb you were 500 years ago, which is obviously a metaphysical assertion. But in the perspective of how dumb you were 10 years ago or 5 years ago, it's kind of a jaw dropper. And I think that's pretty close to the truth. And so in conventional psychotherapy, which I was happy to hear you honoring, you know, the if we had to reduce the whole idea of psychotherapy to one simple notion, it would be the misfirings of our childhood experience echo in our adult lives. It's obviously more complicated, but that's probably the key insight. And in evolutionary astrology, we use a very similar paradigm, except that we presume the childhood of the soul, so to speak, in prior lifetimes. And so everything in your chart is there for a purpose. You know, if I say that, it sounds like a platitude, and I guess it is. But if we think about it deeply, so you've had your birth chart ever since you were born. Mm-hmm. If it's purposeful, what caused you to have it? Well, any logical answer has to be rooted in the time before you had your birth chart. Your birth chart is an effect of something that caused it before you had the birth chart. That's logically inescapable. It doesn't prove reincarnation, but it sure is consistent with it. And mm-hmm. we can use the language of heredity or genetics and your ancestors living on inside you if we want, or we can posit, I have no enthusiasm for this at all, but we can posit a meaningless universe in which astrology works pointlessly, and after a while your battery runs down and you're dead and it didn't mean anything. I have no patience for that perspective at all.
Yeah. Me neither. Now, astrology can be applied to more than just humans, right? I mean, like anything that has a birth time and location has an astrological chart, like the United States or anything in the world. Do you ever create charts for, you know, organizations, structures, companies or countries, things like that, to see like what's going on and what can we learn from this?
Yeah, absolutely. I've done quite a lot of that. It's called electional astrology because we're electing the best time to take an action. And the classic is, you know, helping somebody pick a good time for a wedding or a commitment ceremony. You know, that's a staple of, you know, astrological practice. I've had a lot of influences over the launching of businesses on various scales, you know, choosing an ideal time for that. You can't change your karma with that. You know, I want to win the lottery. I'm going to choose the perfect time to enter the lottery. Good luck. You know, the odds were 100 million against you. Good news. They're now 1 million to 1 against you. You know, we need some feet on the ground. The proof of the pudding with this, this will work for some of your older listeners, is the fact that Ronald Reagan was allegedly coated in Teflon. You know, they called him the Teflon president. That's the best analysis the media could come up with for the fact that the guy got away with a lot of stuff. You know, nothing would stick with him. He used astrology. He used electional astrology. And there it is, you know, a matter of historical record. The stuff works.
Yeah. Is there anything for our audience in general around this time that we're living in that you can provide us with any insight that might be helpful?
Yeah, that's needless to say, a vast question. We have massive change happening at the collective level. The planets Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, and now we have some out beyond that that we've discovered, but most astrologers will use those three. Uranus, 84-year cycle, as I mentioned earlier, Neptune, 165, Pluto, 248 years, you know, to get around. And they're all changing from one sign to another within this period of about a year. Pluto into Aquarius already, Uranus about to enter Gemini, and we have Neptune crossing into Aries. Each one, I have to say, is a really long story, but you know, the energy is changing. It's a season of air and fire, you know. Yeah, so we're in for a wild ride. This is not news to anybody who's paying attention.
Just helps it all make sense. Oh, and I see Harris asks if you have ever heard of Lara Arborn, creator of Third Eye Therapy and the Spirit of Evolutionary Astronomy.
No, I haven't heard, but it seems like somebody I should know about.
I haven't heard of this person either, Harris. Where color and consciousness collide, she has a really interesting perspective in line with Stevens. They should connect.
Yeah.
Okay. ThirdEyeTheory.com.
Yeah. Beautiful.
All right. Thank you, Harris. Appreciate that. Okay, Stephen, unfortunately, we're coming close to the end of our show. From what I understand, you don't work with individuals anymore. Is that right? You're mostly just training now?
It's sort of right. I actually do about 4 personal consultations per week at this point, but I'm not accepting any new clients. A few years ago, I turned 70, And I realized that I was booked up for 10 years. You know, the waiting lists had gotten crazy and they're sort of behind my back. And I just simply stopped adding anybody to them. And I hope to keep the promises I've made. Most of my energy does go into training and kind of passing on the torch at this point.
Yes, wonderful, wonderful. And so if people want to learn more about your school, learn more about you, where can they go? What's your website? How do they reach out?
Yeah, spell forest with two R's, you know, so F-O-R-R-E-S-T, and then Forest Astrology, one word, forestastrology.com goes to my personal website, which has lots of all my books, et cetera, lots of free material too. It's a big, fun website. And then for my school, forestastrology.center. And you can learn all about various ways to participate in that.
So with what you just said before about all these major planets changing signs, and there's been a lot. I'm on some mailing lists of people who like, you know, talk about the weekly astrology forecast and what's going on. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you can give our audience who might feel like all this change and craziness can feel overwhelming at time? Anything to give us hope for the future?
Yeah. It's Pluto in Aquarius has historically correlated with kind of revolutionary progressive movements, and it somehow takes a while to take hold. But I think the kind of conservative strong man energy that we see all over the planet is a hangover from Pluto in Capricorn. It really resonates with Pluto in Capricorn. But Pluto will be in Aquarius until 2044. Mm-hmm. So I am expecting that the climate will swing more in a progressive direction. But then I would add that Pluto always brings forth the shadow side of things. So I think since 2008, we've been seeing the shadow side of conservatism. I admit we still are. But I think that the long story of Pluto and Aquarius over the next generation will be the shadow side of the progressive movement. You know, like we're like the French Revolution was allegedly progressive. You know, Pluto and Aquarius, but it obviously had a dark side.
Right. Absolutely. Stephen, thank you so much for taking the time to come on my show today. It's been a pleasure having you. A wonderful conversation. I'd be happy to have you back anytime in the future if you come out with a new book that you'd like to talk about, okay?
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been a delight.
Wonderful. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, Sanaya, Harris, and everyone listening to it, whether you're listening live or listening to the replay. We so appreciate you. Without you, there is no show. And of course, if you did miss any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc and all over every podcasting platform where you like to listen to podcasts, you can find the Conscious Consultant Hour. Thank you all for tuning in. Don't forget, later today at 4 p.m., we have the Nitty Gritty Entrepreneur, followed by Frank Harrison and his show, Frank About Health. Take care, everyone. We will talk to you all next week.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, And each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be frank about health with all of you.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively the Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.